Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We have an amazing guest, and I know we're all going to learn a little bit about something we really don't know a whole lot about, and I'm talking about electronic health records in hospitals, how important they are, how they've come about, and exactly what they are all about. You may have your own, you know, impression of what an electronic hospital record is, but we're going to talk to an expert now who helps others, and we're going to really learn about this. She has an amazing story. Her name is Dr. Julianne Harrigan. She's based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's interesting because if you go back in her career, she always knew she was going to be a doctor. That was early on in her mind, but she had no idea she would find herself in a strong position to improve patient care while securing the long-term financial health of medical facilities. She got here by being opinionated. Anyway, as a family medicine hospitalist at a hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico, she understood that the programming behind the electronic health record system, and she had questions about it. The system was inefficient, had lots of room for streamlining, and she knew she had to come to the table with some solutions instead of problems, so she began asking questions. Why not do this? Why not do that? Anyway, 9 months later, she got a phone call asking if she was interested in being an advisor for a new project to standardize 12 hospital systems, and she jumped at the opportunity. And 3 years later, when the project was complete, she has stayed on as the corporate CMIO of an organization that is known throughout the – I'm sorry, lost my spot here. Anyway, I'm sorry, Dr. Harrigan, my computer has just gone blank. Physician EHR Solutions is exactly what I was looking for. So she is the executive there, and let's bring her on now to find out more about this. Dr. Harrigan, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where it's a beautiful day today. The fact is, what I understand, is almost always a beautiful day in Albuquerque. Nice to have you with us. How are you today, Doctor?
I'm doing very well, Doug. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's all right. Sorry, I got a little screwed up there. My computer went totally blank. am I right? Let me ask you a quick question. I know you wanted to be a doctor. You are a doctor. You've been in family medicine. Are you still working with patients, or are you now more in the executive area of medicine dealing with EHR Solutions, your company?
So I do both, actually. So my full-time position is as an advisor to large healthcare systems, but I still like to see patients. And, you know, if you're going to be in the electronic health record arena, you really need to know what it's like to have boots on the ground, you know, to be entering things into that system, to have the input and the output of that system, and you have to do it via direct patient care. So I see patients on, you know, pretty much in my free time, on the weekends, and I do a lot of evening shifts and kind of holiday shifts and things like that, so I can keep up that doctor brain and, you know, really keep up the momentum and then understand how to best advise, you know, these hospital systems on how to run their electronic health record system.
Well, explain for us what an electronic health record it really is all about. What is it specifically, your patient total record and everything that happened with the patient while they were in the hospital or under the physician's care? So it's a pretty complete record of their medical background. Is that a pretty accurate description of what it is?
That's just barely scratching the surface, actually. So the
That's
electronic
good.
Health record is really a complete, encompassing record. It doesn't only maintain the patient's, you know, histories, medications, you know, all of their data, all of your notes, all of their radiology, and anything in betwixt and in between, but it also serves to, you know, file bills, create claims to insurance companies, coordinates care. You know, it touches nurses, case managers, doctors, lawyers, you know, even registration folks, and really anything in between. And so when we talk about electronic health record systems, that's what they truly are. They're very extremely complex systems that contain patient data, but also work to convey that data to all of the multidisciplinary areas of the healthcare system that are needed to not only take care of those patients, but also deal with all of that other, you know, kind of financial revenue cycle, anything from dietary. It's a very complex record.
So explain to me your role in this field now. What actually do you do, and how do you help hospitals?
So, for example, right now I'm working as an interim chief medical informatics officer for a 22 hospital system in Michigan. And what I'm doing for them in an advisory capacity is I help to kind of, I guess, herd the cats, for lack of a better term. You know, I give them directional assistance on, you know, what clinical content the electronic health record should have. Make sure that I have oversight into policies and protocols that go into that electronic health record to give direction to things like the doctors and the nurses and the pharmacies of how they should best take care of their patients. So kind of a decision support, you know, utilizing it as a decision support tool. And then I also advise them on regulatory content as well. So I'm on multiple committees within their hospital system as an overseer and an advisor. And so, you know, my job is a very complex one in that I have to understand the clinical content that goes into the electronic health records. You know, for example, we have orders that doctors write on patients that need to be executed, right? So stuff that they give as, you know, medications or surgeries that they need to have and things. And I have to have clinical oversight and understand those processes at a multi-specialty level. So even though my background is in family medicine, I need to know everything about what the neurosurgeons are doing and what the cardiologists are doing and what the hospitalists are doing, which is my role in the hospital, and kind of anything in between. And then also understand, you know, how that affects nursing, how that affects pharmacy, how that affects dietary, and how that also affects, you know, things like revenue cycle. So it's a lot of advisory work that I've come to, you know, understand at a very granular level just by, you know, years of experience and lots of studying.
You know, I find it amazing you can do that for a system. You said it was in Michigan, a 22 hospital system in Michigan. And you're in
Correct.
Albuquerque in New Mexico. Is it difficult or is it kind of easy to do it, you know, from a distance as you are?
You know, it's a bit of a mixed bag of nuts. So, you know, I do travel to the hospital systems quite often, but mostly to the corporate offices where I'm based out of. But you know, when you're in a 22 hospital system that's spread across a large state, you're going to be remote to everybody at some point, you know, so because it's not just one hospital, it's 22 hospitals. You know, my previous organization was 18 hospitals. The one prior to that was 30 hospitals. And so, you know, you're always remote to somebody. And tools like, oh gosh, I have WebEx, Teams, Zoom, Google Meet. I mean, you name it, FaceTime. So it takes the complexity out of it. It allows me to, you know, really, I currently work from home. My office is in my home. But I do a lot of commuting. I get plenty of frequent flyer miles. Let's just put it that way.
I understand. let me ask you another question. I know you began life as a physician. You know, you knew you wanted to be a doctor. You sound more like an administrator now, and I just wonder if you find this as fulfilling as working with patients, even though you get a chance to do that, you know, as well, but not as, you know, this is really a difficult position you're in right now. It seems to me you're handling a lot of very difficult procedures for hospitals and a lot of hospitals. What about that? Do you miss just being a doctor full time?
You know, sometimes I do, but it's interesting because when I go back into the hospital and I see patients, it's super fulfilling and it's lovely and it makes my heart happy. But I also, you know, now since I've been in this administrative role, you know, really since 2010 in various capacities and then full time since 2017. So now, you know, I have, you know, multiple years under my belt. it's hard to be in the hospital and then not find the flaws in the systems in which I work. Now, one of the systems that I work at here in Albuquerque, I designed their electronic health record, implemented the whole thing, standardized their 30 hospital systems. So I had a finger in every hole, you know, in the Swiss cheese of that system for over 5 years as their corporate CMIO. And so I go back there and practice, and I'm like, this is great. You know, this is exactly what it was supposed to be. But then I go to other health systems, and I see patients, and my days are equally as fulfilling as just being a doctor. But then I see the holes in the Swiss cheese, you know, those things that really should be plugged up, and what the inefficiencies are, and how they're, you know, bleeding money, and how, you know, their patient care could be so much better. And then I find regulatory, you know, issues. And so it's kind of hard to separate myself from that now. And what I find, you know, really fulfilling in what I do is the fact that I can look back on these healthcare systems that I've, you know, that I've been an advisor for and that I've worked with and that I've, you know, kind of, you know, spent my blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to make them, you know, not perfect because no system's perfect because the medical systems are a disaster anyway, but making them as efficient and as safe and as compliant as possible, you know, that part is super fulfilling. You know, seeing a doctor go home early from the hospital and not have to be there, you know, toiling over paperwork or seeking through mountains of data, you know, just to find one thing and being terrifically inefficient, and then at the end of the day having those patients be affected by that and be dissatisfied or having their care delayed. You know, those things are what I find extremely fulfilling that I'm helping these organizations, you know, come to terms with and improve upon.
You know, I can't help but wonder if your background, it would seem that a medical background is really not the job that you're doing right. Yeah, I would expect you to be a computer guru who'd come out of, you know, some technical college that deals with computers more than medical school. How did you learn how to handle this? Tell me about your progression. Yeah.
So I've always had a brain. I've always had a brain for programming, and I just understand it. And I've done a ton of homework. You know, right now I'm finishing up a fellowship in clinical informatics just because, you know, I kind of wanted to close the loop on that, even though I don't have to. You know, my job doesn't really require me to. And I don't know that it's going to help tremendously to do that, but it'll be, you know, some acronyms after my MD, so I'll be happy. But, you know, I mean, I graduated prep school and went straight into medical school when I was 18 with an international baccalaureate in physics and mathematical engineering. So I'm very techie, very nerdy. you know, I've always had an engineer type brain. And so combining that with medicine and all of the clinical systems, you know, just like a computer, the body is just an amazing machine. And being able to work on both of those, you know, kind of simultaneously is, you know, it's just, for me, it's super exciting, and it all just makes sense. Like, it just makes perfect sense.
Well, that's great. It's good to know. Let me ask you a little bit to explain how the EHR systems were when you started and what you've done to, you know, make them better than when you began. Some of the kinds of improvements and technology things that you've brought to to the electronic healthcare system right now. Tell me what it was like when you began.
So I'm going to date myself a little bit. So I've been working with electronic health records, or in electronic health records, I should say, since 2003, when I started my second residency, and a little bit to a degree before then, but really we were on paper prior there too. And, you know, there's just so many redundancies and inefficiencies, and there wasn't really any direction as to where you go in the system. And, you know, tasks and, you know, even writing a note, you know, would take, you know, so much more time than it would when you're on paper. But then understanding that once we got into that electronic health record, you know, everything was visible and accessible. You know, you weren't leafing through, you know, something, you know, mountains of paperwork that weren't indexed, for example. You know, you didn't lose the paper, it didn't break, spilling something on it was always catastrophic, you know. And and obtaining, you know, having that, having those tools at your fingertips just made perfect sense. But what I would see inefficiencies in the medical record, you know, like, I don't know, it was loading for a long time, or it took 12 clicks to get to this one thing, you know, then I would go back to the IT team and because at that point, you know, clinical informatics was kind of a brand new concept, and they didn't have a me to do anything with, you know, with their EHR, so it was kind of the IT team, you know, winging it.
Yep.
And, you know, trying to figure out what our workflows were as doctors and nurses. And so I email them, call them, take screenshots, do videos. They hated the videos because I would show them how inefficient the systems were. But I always came with a solution. You know, I've always been a big proponent of, if you're going to complain about something, you know, you better come with something to put on the table as a solution. And so whenever I would go to them with something, I would say, you know, if I'm looking for this one thing, I shouldn't have to click into three different things. It's completely redundant. You can skip these clicks by doing, you know, X, Y, Z. And so I started working with them, kind of hand in hand, more as a, you know, more as a helpful colleague than anything else. I wasn't getting paid for it. And, but that's kind of how everything started. It was, you know, again, my philosophy of, you know, coming to the table with a solution rather than just a complaint, because that doesn't help anybody. And they needed and they were craving the direction, because they didn't really know what I did on a day-to-day basis. I mean, they had an inkling of it, but, you know, but not really. And I knew what I did, and I also knew what they could improve upon. So it became this great relationship, and that's really, I mean, that's how this career in, you know, in advisory really started.
You know, one would assume that an EHR system is something that would be produced by a company, you know, like Microsoft Word is for office work, and that it gets installed at the hospital and everybody gets used to how it works, and maybe they're much the same throughout the industry. But then they come along with someone with you there who can help change the system and make additions and make it better. Is that about how it works? Does each hospital make changes in their own system?
Yes. So to answer your first question, so the electronic health records are provided by really tech companies, right? So you've got your Epics of the world and your Cerners and, you know, other Meditechs and others, Allscripts, that are the creators of the electronic health record. And then each individual hospital or hospital system adopts one of those electronic health records. So they buy that software. But I always say it's kind of like, you know, getting a base model car and then having to turn it into, you know, some sort of fabulous roadster, right? You know, you've got to add the buttons and the dials and the shiny hubcaps and, you know, all of this stuff in order to make it tailored to your organization. And so, you know, you get kind of the base model of what's going on, but then you have to have, you know, you have to have somebody like me, you know, either full-time or part-time or as an advisor to help you add those things on that make your hospital system, you know, efficient, cost-effective, and all of that stuff.
So it's really, really very important. Obviously, this system is critical to the success of the hospital and the care of the patients. What happens when the system
mm-hmm.
goes
Absolutely.
Down? Do they ever go down?
Oh, yeah. that's a loaded question.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, they go down occasionally. You know, one of the hospital systems that fortunately I don't work for as their corporate CMIO anymore, but was recently had a cyber attack and they were down for months. And, you know, it was bedlam. I mean, they had to shut down their emergency rooms and start transferring patients to other hospitals, you know. So, you know, there are circumstances like that in which it's, you know, just totally catastrophic. Other things are where they shut down, you know, for a few hours in the middle of the night for routine maintenance. You know, just as your iPhone updates and has to, like, restart, you have to do that to your electronic health record, you know, once a month or once every quarter and for updates. And in that case, the hospital basically, you know, kind of goes into a little bit of a hibernation mode, and then anything critical is then done on paper and then rescanned into the system. And and replaced, but it does cause frustration and confusion even for a small amount of time that the EHR is down, because you're waiting for things like critical lab results or an X-ray, or your patient needs a medication that needs to be given right now. And when that system goes down and there's not those, kind of bells and whistles, alerts, rapid, that instant gratification, if you will, of things that need to happen rapidly, it always causes issues. But that's really in any health system. But the worst are the, things like the cyber attacks and stuff where, the entire system goes down. And, it causes a system-wide collapse.
Wow, that's so they are important.
Crashing
systems is not good at all. Explain to me a little bit about Physicians EHR Solutions, your consulting firm. What does your firm do?
So I love that you say firm because it implies more than one person. I started this as a small LLC out of just necessity. I just exited a very large hospital system out of Nashville, Tennessee, and was trying to figure out what the heck I wanted to do when I grew up. I knew I wanted to continue to work for large hospital systems because I'd been so successful in the years that I was with the one that I exited, but I didn't want to move. I love Albuquerque. My family's here. My children are here, which is super important. And the pandemic had kind of come and was starting to go, this was in 2020. And, I'm looking around going, well, gosh, I can work from home. I worked from home, this entire time. I was rarely in the corporate offices. And, and so I just thought, well, I'm going to create an LLC. I'm going to give it a name, buy some marketing, and see who wants to hire me. And almost immediately, really quickly, I think I was out of a job for like 5 days.
Really?
and not really out of a job because I was working at, I just went back to being a doctor. It's easy enough to get hospital shifts. There's a doctor shortage everywhere. And so I'm, working clinically, seeing patients, and I get a call from a company called Impact Advisors, and they're amazing. And they do advisory work for folks all around the country, and specifically hospital systems and healthcare, and they asked me if I wanted to go implement another large-scale project, and this was implementing and then standardizing an electronic health record for RWJ Barnabas Rutgers in the state of New Jersey, so 18 hospital system, and I said, well, yeah, that would be fantastic. I'm really good at that, and so that was. That was the whole next year. And then this hospital system in Michigan, it's Corwell Health, very lovely hospital system. They are a product of three hospital system mergers in East, West, and South Michigan. And they also needed the same type of services. And so I just kind of hung my shingle out there via this LLC and a website that, is moderately functional. And, word of mouth in medicine is huge, and so Physician EHR Solutions in and of itself is currently just me, myself, and I. If I ever get it really off the ground, I'll start hiring other people to, to work in, kind of in my consulting firm. But it's been a tremendous help in just getting the word out about what I do and how I can help. And I think that's the most important thing that you can expect. And so it's not a large company at all. I'm about 5'5", so that's it.
So when you're brought on, do you have, obviously the hospital system already has their, their health record systems installed. Are you there to help them improve problems that they may be having? And then, they don't have somebody on board to make the corrections that are needed. Or do you come in and make suggestions on how to make their system better? Exactly what are they expecting when they bring you on board? What are their needs?
So,
and I'm sure it varies.
It depends on the organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it depends on the organization, really. So some of the – so like with RWJ, right? So they had – probably 5 or 6 different electronic health records spread throughout their 18 hospital system. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to consolidate all of their records into one single system and then implement that and standardize it through throughout their hospital system so that, you know, if a provider or a nurse, you know, leaves one hospital and goes upstate, well, they can just pick up where they left off. You know, they don't have to, you know, learn a whole new system and all new policies and procedures and all of that. You know, they can go from one EHR to the same one in a different, you know, in a different hospital and, you know, kind of, you know, continue to work without the inefficiencies. So that particular hospital system brought me on board to help implement their single instance of their electronic health record, and then also provide advisory regarding clinical content and all of that regulatory stuff and things. So that's what they hired me for. The current system that I'm working with brought me in, one, because they had a CMIO who was just not helpful to the system. They needed somebody a little bit more aggressive that, you know, knew how to, that already had experience under their belt, you know, implementing these large systems, because, again, it's very complex. And the person that they had in that position, although very intelligent physician, it's super nice guy too, besides, but, you know, just did not have the breadth of knowledge to carry off a large project like this. And, you know, I mean, with their hospital system, all have implemented, you know, and standardized 70 hospitals across the nation. So, you know, so I have quite a good range of experience at this point. And so, so they brought me on to take their 8 different same systems. So they're on a system called Epic. They brought me on to take all of those versions of Epic and make one single version and standardize it, and then standardize their policies, procedures, protocols across the system, again, with the same philosophy of, well, somebody can transition from hospital to hospital without any hiccups, but also they pay so much money for these individual systems, and to have one single system, even though it's expensive because you're covering a large system, it's much more cost-effective, and then you can make sure that everything that's built into that system is not only efficient, but patient safe. That's the biggest and most important thing.
So I'm sure you've had a number of success stories in what you've been doing. This is very, I mean, you're so technically, you know, smart in this area. You bring a lot to the table, not just, you know, your ability to handle and understand the EHR systems, but you're a doctor as well, and that brings a lot of credibility, doesn't it? The fact that you're a doctor doing this, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You really have to have a doctor in the position that I am, because if you don't understand the clinical side of it, you know, you could never understand how to truly care effectively for patients.
Well, you know, Doug, it's just great talking to you. I'm sure there's so much more to learn about this. Our guest has been Dr. Julianne Harrigan. She has a great website. If you want more information, go to that website. It's mdehr.com, mdehr.com, and you'll learn more about what her firm does, and you'll learn how to get in direct contact with her, so that if you need help with your hospital system, she obviously would be one of the best ones you could possibly connect with. Dr. Harrigan, thank you for taking the time out today. I know it's a very technical, subject that we're talking about, but I really appreciate your time and your explanation of exactly what you do and how you did a great job. So thank you so much, okay? We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome. Thank you again, Dr. Julianne Harrigan. Thank you, Doctor.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Well, that was fun.